kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
PlayStation, PlayStation, it's time for Aki to hear lots about PlayStation.
Because what's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole's here. How are you doing?
I'm alive and kicking. Okay, I'm not kicking. I'm alive.
You know who else is alive? Jacob and Aki are alive, and they're both here.
That's unfortunate. I think we can all agree on that.
I don't know if I'm really alive. I might be quarter dead. Don't think I'm alive quite yet.
Close enough. You're here. You're making sounds. It is good enough for this podcast. I have very low standards.
That is the minimum requirements.
Yeah.
I can work with that.
We should just get zombies to do our episode one week.
I can do that. I can do that right now. I'm fine with that.
That would be quality podcasting. But how's everyone doing? How was your weeks?
It got cold, and that's fucking stupid.
I'm still mad about it.
Like, we were like, it's 80 degrees, and we're outside. That's what I was doing Tuesday. When there was all that racket, I was like, oh, there's people in the driveway. It's because a friend of David's had come to plow our field for us, for our garden. And then, like, the next morning, it snowed.
Mother Nature.
What the fuck?
Mother Nature. And yeah, climate change isn't real, right?
It's a big joke.
All these fucked up weather events are just perfectly normal.
I'm so tired of fucked up weather. I am so ready for moderately okay weather.
Good luck. Jacob, how was your day? Anything big happen with you?
I had the second round of the Pfizer COVID vaccine today.
Yay, congratulations. You are now 5G compliant.
Woo. Yeah, so wait. Still waiting to find out what superpower I get from it.
I think Pfizer is gills.
I turned into a lizard person.
Gills.
Yeah, awesome. I think Pfizer is gills. I think that's what we've been going with ironic on the show.
Which is ironic because I can't swim. So,
well, now you're really going to have to try. hold him under. If he starts thrashing, it's working. Trust me, it's working.
But, like, I know, like, some people are like, oh, well, I started feeling effects within, like, 4 hours. Some people are like, oh, it was the next day. I'm one of the lucky fuckers who, is the four-hour people. So, like, I had it at, like, 9 a.m., and, like, by 1 o'clock, I was already feeling fatigued. I had chills, and then, like, I've had mild nausea since, so.
Nice cold cosplay.
And, Yeah, and also, like, some wacky-ass, like, dreams, like while I was sleeping. So, and I usually don't remember dreams, but it was, I'm just like, yeah. Yeah, otherwise, oh, yeah, and also my left arm, which is where I got the shot. It hurts like a tetanus shot.
Tomorrow you won't be able to lift that motherfucker up.
Well, that's okay, because I don't use it to jerk off anyway.
You ain't going to be able to do that either.
That's why you go with the left arm.
Challenge accepted. Yeah.
Don't dare him, Cole.
we were in the midst of doing work on our bathroom, and David got his. And the next morning, I was like, oh, okay, so, you know, you're not sick, you're not tired, you're doing great. And then I was like, you can hang my medicine cabinet up for me now. And he was like, except one problem. I'm like, what's that? He's like, I can't lift my arm up. I'm like, well, son of a bitch, I guess you ain't put my medicine cabinet in today.
Well, have have kids hold it and have him hammer. Yeah.
About an hour or two after that, it started to kick his ass real good, though. And then that was like, after about 3 hours of that, he was like, is this what you feel like all the time? And I said, yeah. And he was like, this fucking sucks. I was like, yeah. That has been one of the most cathartic things about all this for me, is like, now everybody else knows what it's like to have rheumatoid disease.
Hooray! It's a learning lesson for everybody.
It is!
Yay! Take this to learn.
Did you need to take a nap today? Welcome to RA.
Oh, I take a nap every day.
Can you not remember why you walk from one room to another? Do your joints hurt?
I don't think most of that was RA. I think some of that's just your old
cold. Yeah, because like most of that, most of that applies to me. The whole going into a room and forgetting why you went there, joints aching. Maybe I have rheumatoid disease.
I was gonna say. I mean, like I'm over 35 and I've got two kids. So I mean, like I try to take naps every damn day now. So yeah,
I actively fight taking naps. I hate it. I hate to have to lay down. But I will sit and fight it so long that I physically can't sit upright anymore. And then I go lay down. And by that point, I'm dead and I'm knocked out for like 5 hours because I don't have a choice.
Oh, Lord.
Woo!
Yay! So,
game news.
Yeah, game news. We should dive into the news. There was a lot of news this week. We'll start things off the way we usually start things off. Game Pass.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's our show, Game Pass. Some games joined Game Pass, and some games are joining Game Pass, and some games are leaving Game Pass. So let's.
Oh, my God.
Let's go over some names. April 20th, it happened. We got MLB The Show on console and cloud. Fucking MLB The Show is on Game Pass. Jacob, cool. You going to get Game Pass yet?
Nah, you got me that review copy of the show, right?
Yeah, good luck on that one. Good fucking luck on that one.
Yeah, no, I'm still not going to be getting Game Pass.
You bitch. April 22nd, PC got Fogs, or Pahogs, whatever, P-H-O-G-S.
I think it's Fogs. P-H.
Yeah, that would be Fogs. The P would
I
be silent.
I have no idea what the fuck that is.
Pahogs. I don't feel right saying that word.
No, you probably shouldn't.
I don't like saying that game title. Anyway, April 28th, Second Extinction is going to be hitting game preview for everything.
That seems like an interesting game.
I knew Cole would be excited about that one.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Left 4 Dead-ish, dinosaurs, you had me.
Yeah, I think I'm interested in that too, personally. That looks like that could be pretty good.
Well, it'll be joining Game Pass next week, and then April 29th, Destroy All Humans.
I was both surprised and not surprised by that one.
I reviewed that.
So. When I played it, I was like, for some reason, this feels like more people would enjoy this if it were on Game Pass. They would be happy to try it. That's one of those games that, like, it's worth its price, but it is pricey, too. And so that kind of stops people from picking it up unless they find it on sale. Because it's kind of an odd game. It's an odd, niche-y kind of game, right?
No.
The dog is desperately trying to tear open my door. If you hear banging behind me, I apologize.
I mean, it's not the rabbit this time?
No, that's definitely Dean trying to open the screen door. But it's Destroy All Humans is niche enough that like it can be kind of far fetched to expect somebody just to pick it up and play it and see like the title art for it and be like, yeah, that looks awesome, and then jump into it. Like it's not gonna pull you like that. So I think it'll benefit from some time in Game Pass.
Yeah, I could see it doing well on Game Pass. It's a $40 game. Honestly, it's something that probably could have done better at $20, but now that it's in Game Pass, everyone can pretty much give it a go for cheap.
Yeah.
Like Jacob, if he ever signed up for Game Pass.
No.
I think we shouldn't let Jacob on the show anymore until he has Game Pass.
I concur.
Requirement.
Yeah.
To be on the show.
Oh, no. Don't do that to me, guys.
He can't have any more review games either. Tell him he can't review it unless it's on Game Pass.
Oh, no. My Thursday nights will suddenly be free. Oh, darn.
No, you'll still have tweets to do.
Yeah. Then you have to listen to the show to know what we're talking about to make the tweets.
No one listens to this show.
Joe just sends me a URL and that's it. It's like, figure it out, bitch.
Yeah.
You do it right and I'm done.
All right. That works for me.
Just put the description underneath the video. It's like, find your own fucking timestamps again. I don't even know if people use the timestamps. I legitimately don't know.
Timestamps are always a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm a timestamp for. If I go to a video and I look for timestamps and they ain't there, bitch, I'm gone. I got other shit to do.
I mean, yeah. I'm sure people do appreciate the timestamps and stuff like that. I'll be honest, it actually sucks for me, though, because you used to write in nice little descriptions as to what each game was, and now those descriptions are gone. And so pretty much, unless I already know what the game is about, or if I find out while I'm like trying to track down the company info up on Twitter and stuff like that, I don't include, like, you know, oh, it's a JRPG, blah, 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 blah. Everything's just an indie game anymore. You know, and what it's just a like, lazy
fucker.
Hey, I spend the same amount of time on the tweets as I was doing before, so it's whatever. But, you know, it's just like, oh, the one.
So my effort went up, but no one else's did.
Sounds about right, yeah.
God damn it.
I'm not getting paid for this.
Neither am I.
I'm just saying. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm worth what you pay me, so.
You are worth what I pay you. I won't lie.
Exactly.
You are worth double what I pay you.
He's worth what you're paying him. The problem is you're still paying him too much.
Shh, don't tell him. He thinks it's a bargain.
I do. He throws me Yakuza games, except for the one that's coming out for Xbox Series X, of course.
I hope to God we get that for review, just because you can't review it. Because you can't. You don't have a Series X.
I'll be sad.
That happened to me with a couple of games. So I'm happy to see somebody else suffer while I sit back and enjoy both of my Xbox Series.
You make me suffer all the time. What the fuck are you talking about? You always take the games I want, you shithead.
I mean, as I've said to Joe, though, I mean, it's just like, I mean, would I be, like, slightly sad I can't play it at launch? Yeah. But at the same time, I haven't bought Yakuza 3 through 6 yet, because I still haven't beaten 0 and 1. And those games take, like, minimum 80 hours each, and I'm just like, that plus my backlog, I'm just like, fuck it, I'm just gonna wait for a sale to pick those up. Like,
Aki, there may or may not have been times where Joe has asked me if I wanted a game, and I've said, does Aki want it? And then if he says yes, I'm like, okay, give it to me.
You fucker!
Aki, don't feel
bad, too. You do that. I am totally picture you doing that. Shit.
Aki, don't feel too bad, because I just assume that Cole is just like, does Jacob want this? Well, yeah, he requested. All right, cool. I'm taking it. Like,
I would rather have my teeth pulled out slowly with rusty pliers than play some of these games, but y'all wanted them, so they're mine now.
Like, if anything, I figure Cole just thrives on depriving me of games.
Yeah, she does. That gives her energy. Some people live on food, some people live on the tears of their enemies. She lives off of that. It is what it is. She's a monster.
So, you know, anyway, April 30th, Fable Anniversary and Fable 3 are going to be hitting the cloud for Game Pass.
I mean, Fable Anniversary would be cool. But
now you could play it on the cloud, in the clouds, in the tubes.
Nah, I'll pass.
The virtuals.
Because Game Pass, you know.
Oh, Jesus. Some games are leaving Game Pass. Here. May 1st, we are losing 6 games from the Game Pass library. Fractured Minds, Moving Out, For the King, Level Head, Endless Legend, and then Thumper on the PC.
Fractured Minds. Wasn't that game, like, free?
I think it was $2.
It was $2. It's great, though, and you should
No, I know. I've already played it. It's an for the achievement whores out there, it's an easy 1,000. But
it may have been Games with Gold as well. I don't remember.
I think it was at one point, yeah.
I don't think
it's wonderful.
Is it Games with Gold? I don't think they gave a $2 game as Games with Gold. That would maybe suck. Maybe not,
but I swear I feel like it was.
Either that or else it was just cheap as hell.
But, yeah, I think it was maybe. Just the fact that it was a $2 game.
It got hyped up a lot, and it should have been, because it was a wonderful good. Game made by a teenage girl by herself, solo dev in it, and that's, I'm always on board with that.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
It was an easy 100%. I enjoyed it for that.
Level Head is a good one. If no one has checked that one out, it is an awesome platforming game. Create your own platformer game, one of those, and it's from Butterscotch Shenanigans, which we know George loves. Butterscotch Shenanigans.
Wait, is that a game leaving Game Pass, or is this a cheap game that's an easy 100?
Level Head is a game that's leaving Game Pass.
Okay, I wasn't sure which area of it we were discussing.
Yeah,
Level Head. Is it also easy to get 100% in?
No. Oh,
okay, thank you.
Asking the good questions.
No. I ask the important shit.
Yeah. So speaking of xCloud, Microsoft's xCloud service for browser is set to launch in beta, and testing began this week for iPhones and PCs.
That's nice.
Okay.
So some lucky people have gotten closed beta invites already.
The odd thing with the PC side is that you use it through the Edge browser.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I really was hoping they would bring console streaming back to the app. Give, please.
Yeah. Because
that's one thing. I gave up my 1S, and I no longer have console streaming.
Aww.
And it hurts my heart.
Wait, oh, Brie got the invite. Series X doesn't?
Mm-mm. It has the option, but it won't connect to the console companion app. I've been trying to do it for almost a month now.
Interesting. You would think that the newer console would be better for stuff like that.
Absolutely, but it's just because they phased out support for the console companion, and the new app doesn't have it. So if you're still using the old app can't connect to the new console.
Okay.
That's what
I thought I used my Series X streaming before. Maybe I didn't.
I don't know. It should. That's like the thing about it is like it says it's there, but it just won't connect to it. I can't make it work. And I'm so sad about it because that's my favorite way to play is just I sit here and play something on my PC. And then if somebody pops up and wants to play on Xbox, I just launch that and I don't have to worry about like moving all my shit over to the couch. I can still just stay right here. But
I'm lucky. All my shit's just connected to the same fucking TV.
I mean, it's not possible to connect my computer rig to the TV given what it's used for.
I guess
just get a giant touchscreen TV, like a giant 80-inch touch panel.
I'm just finger paint.
Yes.
And now I'm drooling. I want that kind of TV. Oh my god.
Oh my lord. Some good news. Free to play games are finally fully free to play on Xbox as the gold requirement has been lifted for free to play games, for parties, and for looking for group.
That's great. Yay. It should have been that way for a while, but at least it's finally there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely awesome news. My niece has been wanting to play Roblox online.
Oof.
Yeah, she can because it's free to play. Good for her. And I don't have to get her an Xbox Gold card or Game Pass Ultimate, which she probably should look into given the quality of titles that you get for one low monthly.
Jesus Christ. You're not getting paid. Stop shilling.
I was going to say, you'd think Microsoft was bankrolling you or something.
I'm trying so hard, too.
Maybe someday. You're trying so hard, they don't have to do it because you're doing it for free.
True.
That's, yeah.
I buy the cow when you get the milk for free.
Exactly.
I am the cow.
Joe, nobody wants the milk.
I'm a boy that's not milk.
Nobody, Nobody wants your ranky ass milk.
That was good.
Oh my god. Carnage is in chat. How are you doing, Carnage? We're losing our shit on this show. Oh my god. Some EA games got FPS boost updates this week, enabling 120 frames per second on all of the games except for Sea of Solitude, which gets bumped up to 60 frames per second. The 120 games are Battlefield 1, 4, and 5, Mirror's Edge Catalyst, Garden Warfare, Garden Warfare 2, Battle for Neighborville, Star Wars Battlefront and Battlefront 2, Titanfall and Titanfall 2, and Unravel 2. All of those getting 120 frame per second bumps.
Has anyone here actually played that Mirror's Edge game, the Catalyst one?
Not much.
You know what? I won it, and it's still in the wrapper, and I have never played it, and I was so excited for it, but I just haven't had time. Damn it. I loved the first one. I don't know.
So did I. I just really did not like the achievements for speedrunning bullshit. That sucked, and I wanted to know if the second one has that crap in it, too.
I mean, you could look up the achievement list.
I could, but I was really hoping one of you would just know, because I'm a little lazy.
And we're not?
Yeah.
Well, if one of you knew, it wouldn't be a matter of being lazy.
You expect us to know something?
Yes. On occasion. I don't expect much of you, but to know shit, yeah. That's one of them.
Barking up the wrong tree here.
I know, yep. Right? I had to fucking go look
that
this up.
Bad idea. God damn it.
Oh, man. Also a bad idea. I think it's a bad idea that Discord has ended talks with Microsoft.
Why do you think it's a bad idea?
Because I think it was going to be a good match. I think they could have integrated Skype into Discord and had a really cool product. But
The thing is that they've stopped talking for the time being. But I read elsewhere that they're considering picking up talks again in the fall.
Perhaps. We shall see.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. I heard they were going to stay independent because they wanted to do an initial public offering.
Maybe. Well, I think some of it might be they're going to see how that goes and then, you know, then resume talks if things don't go well.
We're sorry, Papa Gates. We done fucked up. Please take us back.
You have more money than we do. We need a small loan of $1 million.
I would love $1 million right now. That would be amazing. Also amazing, some good news. Sony has changed course and they will not be shutting down the stores for the PS3 and the Vita.
Yay. Nice.
I was happy about that.
Very, very good news. Very smart news, especially because we're still covering new Vita games.
Yeah.
I was going to say, East Asia Soft, I think they were, like, when the store closure was initially announced, they were saying that they were hustling to get as many Vita games out as they could so that the devs could make their money before the store would shut down.
No. Well, thankfully, the store's not shutting down anytime soon, at least. The PSP store and all functionality is still gone on July 2nd, but that's nothing new. The store was already gone. It was just like in-game functionality was still there, but that too will be kaput. Okay.
Yay.
Mario Kart 8 is now the highest selling racing game in U.S. history with 41 million units sold across the Wii U and the Switch, but we all know the bulk of that's on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It has been confirmed that Amazon has canceled an in-development Lord of the Rings MMO, which was first announced back in 2019. Jacob, I'm assuming you're bummed about this.
Wait, what?
Do you not listen to the words I say?
Nope.
No.
Amazon canceled an in-development Lord of the Rings MMO.
Oh, I saw it. I was just like, whatever. Like, imagine that. Amazon fucking up in-game development. Oh. Like, you know, for a company that has all the money in the world, you'd think they'd be able to actually, you know, ship, an actual video game, but no. So I was like, I was talking about Amazon, but Google them as well. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's just like these companies with like a shit ton of money can't buy, you know, they can't buy a good game, or they can't actually release a game, which I find kind of interesting. Perhaps that says a lot about their companies themselves.
And how they're run and managed, and I think they just went for names and talent, and they didn't look for cohesion.
Well, I think it's also, I mean, because one of the things, like, I mean, if you look at the Amazon Basics line, a lot of it is just copying what their competitors do, and then just making it sell at a loss, like, not so much at a loss, but at a lower price than what the competition is, so then people go with the Amazon Basics line. And I just think they've realized, like, or hopefully they're realizing that it's just like, oh shit, we can't, like, that's not something we can do with game dev. Like, I don't know.
Ah, well, some more sad news. NASCAR Heat 2 and 3 servers will be shutting down on April 30th. So if you have not upgraded to NASCAR Heat 4 or 5 yet, now is the time to do so. Just before NASCAR Heat 6 is assuredly going to come out this year. That's my guess.
I mean, probably. I mean, NASCAR Heat 5 came out last year. That was a solid game, too.
The NASCAR Heat games have all been really solid NASCAR games. They haven't really done anything really horribly wrong. They've been solid and decent and playable and enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, I only played 5, but I mean, I enjoyed my time with that. I also enjoyed making the other racers hate me, so yeah. That was fun.
Ramming into people's fun. News I know you're going to be excited about, Jacob. Reports are coming from Jason Schreier that a remake of Knights of the Old Republic is being worked on by Aspyr.
Yep, I had read that. Okay, we're pulling from the same information on that. Yep, yeah, that's. I think that's going to be interesting, especially since I've read rumors that supposedly it's going to be like a mix between 1 and 2. So it might just be like a big, huge honking thing. Hmm. And some people think that this is going to bring in the Knights of the Old Republic, like the involvement from like the games and stuff like that. Like, which is now considered Legends because Disney threw out half of the, or not even half, like 99% of like the expanded universe stuff. And then slowly brought back in like, you know, little bits here and there. A lot of people seem to think that this is going to be bringing in the Knights of the Old, like the official making version it
canon
of it
again.
Right. Yeah. So that would be pretty cool. And I mean, it's like, it's not like the originals are going to go away either. So, I mean, Aspyr, I think they just released Knights of the Old Republic 2 on iOS and Android. So,
oh, did they?
I saw a tweet about it. So,
I don't follow iOS or Android at all. So,
well, no. It was a tweet from Aspyr. But the thing is that it's just like, I've also seen ads for games that they've released like 3 years ago. So it's a little confusing.
I don't know. Something that's releasing September 9th, Tales of Arise finally got a solid September 9th release date. And they announced it will also be launching on PS5 and Series X and S as well as PS4 and Xbox One. And PC. So, Tales of Arise. Aki, I thought you'd be excited about Tales of Arise.
I am. I really want to play that. I like all those types of games. But I somehow doubt we're going to get it, which is makes me sad. So I highly doubt I'm going to get to review it.
Is that all I am to you people?
Do you want the truth? Because I don't think you can handle the truth.
Oh, I know the truth already.
I'd hope so.
It's been reported that CD Projekt has refunded around 30,000 copies of Cyberpunk through their mail-in Help Me Refund program. To compare, it sold 13.7 million through the end of 2020. So they still sold a shitload of copies. And
however, that number does not include the amount refunded through Xbox and PlayStation.
Yeah, this is only their Help Me Refund program. This was if you could not get a refund normally.
Yeah. Honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if this still just taught everyone that you can put out a really buggy fucking game and get away with it. Because I'm sure they've probably still made fucking buttloads of money off of this fucking game.
Oh, yeah, they did.
They pulled in $500 million last year. So, yeah.
Ka-ching. EA confirmed.
I think they'll live.
Yeah. They'll be fine. EA confirmed that two Battlefield games are currently in development, one for new gen consoles and PC, and one for mobile. Yay!
Mobile.
Do you not have phones?
No.
Actually, I don't right now.
Wow, I'm actually going to be getting my first smartphone soon.
I lost it. I don't know what I did with it. It just kind of went into the wild blue yonder. I've torn this house apart looking for it. Although that doesn't mean much because I also lost my heat transfer tape for sublimation the other day. And then the day I got more from Amazon, I went to put it up and I found my original roll.
Wow. You lost it in the first place. You should have looked. Fucking wow, girl. Jesus.
Did you try
fucking bad.
Calling your phone?
I don't have service on my phone. It only works through Wi-Fi. So, I mean, it's just doesn't matter. You can't just call it doesn't do anything.
Facebook message yourself constantly.
Yeah, but I don't keep... That's the thing. Because I do this show, I never kept the ringtone on it. It was always just on silent.
Doesn't vibrate?
Does it not vibrate?
I don't have it set to vibrate. Because it would be Jesus laying on the table Christ. And then we'd be recording, and it would vibrate, and you'll be like, there's your phone. So I just turned that shit off. I don't fucking care to turn it back on. Who uses the phone anyway? Everything I do is on my computer anyhow, so I don't ever need a phone.
I use my phone constantly when I'm in bed.
I lost mine, I lost it, I don't know, last month sometime. I've just been like, it's whatever. I asked David, I said, would you look under the bed? And he said, yeah, and I don't know if he ever did or not, because that's the most likely place I dropped it.
Oh, Jesus.
The last time I lost it, it was in the on the rail between the rail and the box spring, and I lost it for like 2 months. And then he was like, hey, here's your phone. I was like, oh, yeah, look at that.
You lose your phone too casually.
Yeah.
I just don't care. I just don't fucking care about it. It exists, I can tell. And that's it.
Something that I care about, though. Last bit of fucking news I have. Ooh, vertically impaired coming in, subbing for 38th month.
We're holy so balls.
38 months. That is
only 50 more than it should have ever been.
That's unnecessary, and I love you so much, Tony. Thank you so much for coming by. But I was about to say, Sega announced Phantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis will be releasing globally in June on Xbox and PC in the US, and then in Japan, it will also be on, I believe, PS4 and Switch.
Okay, I guess.
I'm excited for this one. New Genesis looks really cool. I think it looks really good, so I'm excited for it.
You think you're excited? You should feel my nipples.
Ooh. I want to know why my sub goal thing doesn't work at the bottom of the screen.
Because we don't work either.
Yeah. Can't debate that one. Jacob, any news on your end? I know you always have stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I do. So Gearbox is threatening to leave Texas over the anti-trans bill that the Texas state government's trying to push.
I saw that today. Good for them.
Yeah. Also, Apple, Microsoft, and IBM have also written to the state government, being like, yo, don't fucking pass your dumbass bill.
I remember when a lot of places did that to Indiana when it went to pass fucking Pence's anti-gay bills. That was nice. So good on those places. Fuck Texas.
So... there's that. Jeff Kaplan is leaving Blizzard. He's the director of Overwatch.
Now, a lot of people think this spells disaster for Overwatch 2.
Yeah, a lot. Especially since he's seen as like the last of the old guard at Blizzard. So
that's people's attachment to certain developers on a team. So weird. Like, there are so many hands involved in a game that one person leaving does not throw everything into chaos the way people think it does.
Well, it depends on the person.
No, it doesn't. That
also, I mean, like, some people have, like, a signature touch. I mean, it's like the eight old men of Disney, you know?
Let's look at it this way. If Jacob quit the show,
we wouldn't care.
We'd go on. if I quit your the show, shit would on, be hold on. Over.
Well, yeah, because it's your damn show. All right, hold on.
But that's the difference between being the top of the heap. Like these.
Okay, if you left the show,
right. Shit would be in trouble.
No, I think you'd probably be better off actually getting games.
No pressure or nothing.
No, but, I mean, like, don't, what Joe just said don't is
leave me. CJ left me. Chris left me. Pappy left. Don't leave me anymore.
No, but I mean, like, Joe's right on that. I mean, Cole, like, honestly, if you left, I mean, like, when you were gone for a month, because of the snow-related stuff, Joe was handing me a shitload of games to review, and I honestly got burned out on it. And
people can't do what you do, Cole. It's like people can't do what Jeff Kaplan does with Overwatch.
And other Blizzard games that he's worked on, because he also did World of Warcraft. So, but yeah, I mean...
I don't think it's as big a deal in a group when there's like 2,000 people working on something versus 5.
Well, when
we get to 2,000 people on our staff,
I mean, when head people leave, real important people leave, they are also, you know, giving instructions to the people underneath them to make things run more smoothly. When they decide to leave, everything gets kind of thrown into disarray a bit.
Put another one in.
Yeah, but you can't just toss in somebody else.
Like, yeah, they have to get used to that person again.
Yeah.
Or to the new person, and that person may not be as good as the last one is the problem, and may not have the same ideas, because it's not like everyone who's working underneath that guy was, you know, completely devoid of any thoughts he had.
It's not just a case of the people working under him. He's part of another team too. Like, it's a whole ass group that has that similar job. He's not on his own, you know?
Carnage says, I just want Overwatch 2 to not suck. A lot of people think with Kaplan leaving that it's going to lead to a lot more microtransactions.
It's the same issue, like, when people get all up in arms because, you know, so-and-so left Halo or so-and-so left whatever. But, like, it's not a nail in the coffin the way people act like it is.
Except if he's the director of it, which he was.
But it's like, a whole board of directors. Like, there's not just one. It's not like a director of a movie where there's one dude in a chair telling everybody what to do. Like, with video games, there's a whole board of directors that has that shit to do.
Actually, a movie was a great example of how exactly this is. Because, yeah, sure, you do have a director, but then you also have other people in the studio who get to decide what Final Cut is, if that is in their contract. Perfect example of this, go watch the 2016 Fantastic Four film. They shoved the director... All right, first off, yeah, don't watch it. But they shoved the director out two-thirds...
The thing, you're talking about one person versus in a whole group of people. Like, his opinions were not the only thing that made Overwatch. He was not the end-all, be-all.
No, but he had final say, or at,
no,
at the
he
time...
Didn't. No, he didn't. Like, that's just it. He didn't. There were other people involved. Like, we might want to hold him up and go, oh, but that's not really his position. It was never his position to be the end-all be-all for Overwatch. And so it's not to say that if he's not there that it can't carry on as it was, because there's still all the other people that have been working on it in this capacity that are going to keep working on it in that capacity. Even when somebody new comes in with their ideas, that doesn't mean their ideas are going to just completely wipe out what was already done or there.
It doesn't necessarily, but it also doesn't bode well.
Kinky bananas.
What other news do you have?
There we go. I thought I could get that out for you.
I for a minute there, I thought Kinky Bananas was like a new subscriber or some shit like that. So
no, I just say random shit.
Which, by the way, I mean, like, that's a great, you know, that's a great. You know, that's a great handle for Twitch now, so I'm gonna go claim that. Anyway, so Rockstar briefly had Midnight Club 2 up for sale for the first time in about 3 years.
Wasn't it Midnight Club 3?
No, it was Midnight Club 2.
Okay.
I'm looking at the article right now.
I'm thinking wrong then. That's on me.
Yeah. But it was brief. It was briefly brought up for a bit, and now it's delisted again because there's a ton of music licensing issues. So there's that. Double Fine has reaffirmed that Psychonauts 2 is coming out this year.
It's good.
Yay. Lego Mario is getting Luigi in August.
Ooh.
Which was kind of creepy because if you updated the firmware for Lego Mario, all of a sudden he started calling out for Luigi.
Oh, no.
Which, yeah, well, and everyone's just like, oh, that's very interesting. Like, you know, it must mean that's coming out, which, of course, Lego confirmed it. But one of my friends pointed out that it was just kind of, it was real creepy because, like, imagine, like, your kids playing with action figures and suddenly they're just like, oh, you need so-and-so to be able to do this. Like, you know, like, I mean, yeah,
sounds sure. Like my childhood.
Right. And it's just, well, I mean, yeah, sure. Like, I mean, we had like He-Man and G.I. Joe, like with the Saturday morning cartoons and stuff being like, oh, here's, you know, I don't know, like Beast Man or whatever. Like, you know, we need to have, go kids, go buy off the Beast Man thing. But that was like once a week, you know. Meanwhile, Mario is like actively calling for Luigi over and over again. So it's just like, I don't know.
Good stuff. What else you got?
Ubisoft has turned Werewolves Within into a horror comedy movie. It's coming out from IFC Films later this year.
Interesting.
Which I never even heard of this game before.
You never heard of Werewolves Within?
No. Nah.
Really? Huh. Pretty big on PSVR. It was one of the earlier titles that came out for PSVR that seemed to do really well. I enjoyed it. I had fun with it.
I mean, I think their ego is to why I haven't heard of it. PSVR.
Yeah.
So a movie set photo from Sonic the Hedgehog 2 has leaked somebody else who's going to be showing up.
Who?
I don't know. Are we allowed to talk about spoilers for it?
You brought up the fucking story. Why wouldn't you tell us?
Fine. It's Knuckles. Knuckles is going to be in the film.
Okay.
I don't care about that.
No. Well, I mean, it kind of pointed to it in the first one, because that's what goes after that owl in the beginning.
I haven't actually watched it. I was hoping for Tails.
Tails shows up at the very end.
Okay, yeah,
I thought in an end credit scene.
Spoilers, if Tails doesn't show up in it, then fuck these people.
Yeah,
Tails was always my favorite character. I don't care about any of the others. I like Tails.
Yeah, no, Tails is also in it, but it's really funny because it's just like, all it is this set photo, all it is just like three like little plastic statues of the characters, because they have to have something for the actors to be able to look at, reference and stuff like that. And so all you just see is these plastic statues of Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles all standing together. So,
I want to know which one of these actors doesn't know who the fuck these characters are. Like,
well, no. You need to know where they are in terms of acting, like where in the room they are.
Yeah. All right. Never mind.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah.
All right. One more story, Jacob, and then we'll dive into reviews. Give us a good one.
Oh, yeah. I don't really have a good final strong one to end on. Fourth and final season of Netflix's Castlevania anime arrives next month, and they're already looking at spinoffs. So
sounds about right.
Yeah,
you gotta make money. Just grind it into the dirt until there's nothing left.
Yeah, that's how it works, right?
Yep, pretty much.
Well, should we move on to reviews? Got a couple of games to talk about tonight.
Figure.
Cole, you ready?
If we must.
Aki, you ready?
If I must.
Okay, because you're going last. First game to talk about tonight, we're revisiting Rain on Your Parade, developed and published by Unbound Creations, released April 15th on Xbox One, Switch, and PC for $14.99, also available as a part of Xbox Game Pass. Travel the world as a cute cardboard cutout cloud and ruin everybody's day. Unlock new methods of mischief across 50 levels, each with a unique setting and objectives. Make new friends and help them too. It's adorable. Jacob, tell us about your time with Rain on Your Parade.
So, yeah, it's, I mean, I believe Cole reviewed it last week. But, yeah, you're playing this, like, little card. I don't know. Is it actually cardboard or is it just? Well, no. I mean, like, in the actual, like, game scenes, is it supposed to be cardboard or is it just, like, how it's? Oh, okay. Cool. All right. So, you're this little cardboard rain cloud. And, yeah, it's just you're there to ruin everyone's day. And, like, you rain on people. And, of course, you can fill up your rain cloud at, like, lakes, fountains, all that kind of stuff. But there's all sorts of other stuff that you have to do. Like, some of them are, like, optional side quests. Like, you have to make all the lights in a park go out. Or you have to get a – or you have to, like, light a science fair project on fire. And then set fire to like the whole cafeteria and stuff like that.
I'm a lot more interested in this now.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, if
Aki, you weren't interested in Rain on Your Parade?
Oh, I was, but Cole's a shitbag and took it. So
it's on Game Pass.
Not all of us have Game Pass, Cole.
Aki has Game Pass.
I do, though. I just don't have any real room on my Xbox right now because I'm still waiting for some shithead to play fucking Zombie Army 4 with me.
Is that one of us?
Because I think it's all of us, actually.
Yeah, it's Cole and Joe at the very least, but I'm more bitching about Cole.
So Rain on Your Parade is a whopping.
You know who is also bitching? The people that you rain on in Rain on Your Parade.
Which, by the way, is a whopping 800 meg. So I know you can't fit that on your hard drive, can you?
Oh, I can. I didn't realize it was that fucking small. I'm going to go download that right now. Thank you.
That's what she said. Anyway.
Yeah.
So it's just like you're going and ruining all these different things. Like there's a level at a beach, there's a level at a park, there's one at a school, you know, and it gives all these different environments and it's a lot of fun trying to figure out how you're going to make it work. Like one of them, you have to set like a company stock room on fire, which was, I'll be honest. And the thing is like, you will fail. Some of these times, but like part of the fun is figuring out how to make it. So like, because as a cloud, not only can you suck up water, but you can also suck up like gasoline and other things. And so like, you're trying to figure out how to make the gasoline, spread like across the room or like across the lawn or something like that. Because of course there's environmental hazards. Like there could be like a water hose that's going off or, just height difference. For the liquid can go and stuff like that. And also some people you can't set on fire because like they have like an umbrella over top of them. So, you know, that kind of ruins your fun there. But yeah, and it's just, you know, you're just ruining everyone's day. The easiest way to explain it is, did you like Untitled Goose Game? Then you're going to like this. So,
Cole, anything you want to chime in with, detail wise, like game wise?
You get to raise the dead.
I haven't made it there yet. And also, apparently, you have to save Seattle, which I was just like, this is amazing.
There's 50 levels in the game.
Yeah, there's a lot of content for this game. I'm really pleased with it. And
although
to be
Carnage
honest,
is saying he 1K'd it in 2 hours, so what the fuck, Carnage?
That's because there's a glitch where the boss levels that you're not supposed to take any damage on, if you sit at the front of it and don't do the level and just exhaust your water supply, it'll give you the achievement. So he fucking cheated is what I'm saying.
In other words, thank you, because I'm going to go cheat.
I was going to say, I'm going to go fire
the... You still have to do the levels to get to the next level, but you can get the achievements by just exhausting your water supply.
Oh my god, that's beautiful.
Wait, so it gives you all of the achievements?
No, just for that level.
Okay.
And it's not all the levels, it's just the boss levels where you're not supposed to take any damage.
Gotcha. But yeah, like honestly, so far, like this and Steven Universe Unleashed the Light are my contenders for Game of the Year right now. I'm really enjoying this game. I'm glad I got to review it. I highly suggest you check it out, whether it's on Xbox Game Pass or you shell out the $15. It's totally worth the $15 that you paid for it. So highly, highly, highly recommend this game.
Cool.
I do want to point out that the developers posted on Twitter a couple days ago that in under a week, Rain on Your Parade had reached over 150,000 players due to Game Pass.
Which is awesome.
Nice.
That's incredible.
There's a lot of people playing this game. A lot of people being dickhead clouds. All right. Well, Jacob, that's it for you. Are you going to hang out for the rest of this, or are you going to go crawl into bed and be a little bitch?
I'm going to do tweets and then be a little bitch, but yeah. Nice.
Cool. Well, you go do tweets. Do you have any final words?
Nah.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
God. Bye.
Next game to talk about is called D-Land Pocket Planet Edition. Is it D-Land or Die-Land, Cole?
I don't think I ever said it.
Okay, I'm going with D-Land then. D-Land Pocket Planet Edition.
Yeah, I was going with,
like, Day. Die. Day.
It could be anything.
Ah, man. Developed and published by Chibig. Released April 15th on Switch and PC for $19.99. D-Land Pocket Planet Edition is a farming adventure where you will have to take care of your tiny planet, farm, craft, fight, and explore the universe of D-Land. Cole, it's a Switch game and you're covering it. Do tell us why.
Because I'm pretty sure this is from the developers of Summer and Mara. And that's pretty much it.
Yes.
It also has some tie-ins to Summer and Mara. We all fucking know I loved Summer and Mara. And my biggest complaint about the game was that I wanted more of it. So here we are. I actually took the game before I realized it tied into the Summer and Mara universe. I was just like, oh, it's farming and you've got me. And then I started to play it and I was like, this art style looks incredibly familiar. And then I was like, that character definitely looks familiar because it has Bram from Summer and Mara. And I was like, yep, no mistaking that. That's the dude. And I will say, I'm not sure. I meant to check before we started recording and I absolutely forgot to. I wanted to see if it came out before or after because there were a few quality of life features in Summer and Mara that Dalen does not have, but also vice versa. And I was like, it would be better if it had some of those other features, but also Summer and Mara could have been better if it had some of these features. So I was kind of like, I can't decide which one came first. It's a chicken or egg situation. Should have
Mara
checked it
was
up.
In 2020 and Dalen was originally on PC in 2018.
Oh, okay. So it is before. I wonder why they took some of the things out. There are a few features. There's combat in D-Land, for example. There is no combat in Summer and Mara. But there is combat in D-Land. And you have to, like, every so often things will happen and you just have to, like, take your hoe or your hammer and hit. First, they're adorable little blobs that I felt bad about killing. they reminded me of the slimes in Slime Rancher, and I was like, no, don't make me kill these. Yep. And then there are, it ends up getting some hairy looking monsters later on, so at least you stop feeling quite as guilty about murdering them, although some of them looked like geckos, and then I felt bad again. I was like, that's definitely a lizard. Somebody had something against lizards. There are some obvious differences here, though. Summer and Mara was, you're on an island, you ride a boat to other islands. For D-Land, you're on a planet. Your whole ass world is on the screen. And when you are playing, you basically can just, like, you see the horizon. Everything is kind of rounded out. It is a little distorted. If you have motion sickness, this game is probably going to fuck with you a little bit. A lot of it.
No, I should avoid it.
It didn't bother me, but there were a couple times where I was like, boy, that's probably problematic for somebody.
I'm probably that somebody.
You're that somebody. It didn't seem as troublesome in handheld mode, but playing it on a big screen, I was like, oof, that camera is doing some shit. So you can see the whole island if you press whatever button is at the top on the Switch controller. God damn the Switch. Then you can see the whole planet, and you can rotate it and twist it around. That becomes important because sometimes there will be meteorites and you need to move the planet so that the meteor strikes somewhere that it doesn't like destroy your crops or burn down your trees or shit. When you are just controlling, I can't remember the boy's name, Anko, I think it is.
Arko,
there we go. In my head, I started calling him Prince because they keep referring to him as one of the princes, which revolves around the narrative, and I don't want to give any more than that away, so I'm going to shut up.
Proud of you.
When you're controlling him, you can just kind of see like a horizon and everything's kind of warped to appear rounded, right? So you're like constantly feel like you're running over a hill, but never quite get to the top of it. It does take a little getting used to. There's farming elements. You have three little garden plots. You can grow different things in them. Same farming system as Summer and Mara, and that I can't help but keep comparing it because they are so similar. I apologize for that. You sow a seed into a plot. Has to be the right season. For example, watermelon grows in the spring and the summer. Pumpkins grow in the fall and the winter. So on and so forth. So you have to grow it in the right season. There is some magic elements involved. For example, one quest will have you grow a super pumpkin. And the trick to that is that you plant the pumpkin during fall. And then at night, and when the moon is visible, you have to line up the pumpkin field with the moon, and then you'll hear a sound that lets you know that you grew a super pumpkin.
Interesting.
It's creative. They didn't carry that stuff over into Summer and Mara, and I can kind of see why, because it's a little convoluted. But I did like it. I didn't find myself wanting to grow the super pumpkins unless I needed them for a specific quest or item, because it was too much effort. I was like, I'm not watching the time that closely. I'm just planting whatever it tells me I can plant. Bitch, I need to grow cotton. I need to be able to make fabric. You are always out of thread in this game. You were always out of thread in Summer and Mara. It's the same. I don't know why that's a continuing issue here, but good luck getting a hold of the thread. Let's see. Instead of island hopping, you do enough quests for a certain character, you can eventually go to other planets. You do have to create fuel.
And so it's No Man's Sky, basically. Resources.
But like, if No Man's Sky had been good from the jump. You know? Like, you can go to the other planets, and then you can just go home. And no big deal, you know? So it's not that it's no big deal. There are different plot lines and stuff that carry out so that you have to go to the other planets. But again, I don't want to spoil any story. And if I get to talking too much, I'm definitely going to do that.
Well, I want to instead of that,
something out though.
Okay.
Hold on before you say it, because I want to point something out. As much as I've rambled about this game, y'all fucking know how much I hate to play Switch. It's all I've done this week in my spare time. If I can load up Dalent, I've done it.
Made you play the Switch. Nah, nah, nah,
you
nah,
did,
nah.
And I was like, son of a bitch, I have to go and admit. So I'm going to need them to port this to Xbox. Please and thank you. Have a nice day, because I need it. I need more of it. And I am grateful to have gotten to play it, even if I had to play it on the Switch.
Well, then for $20, what is your official verdict?
I do give it a buy it. There's definitely plenty of content to justify the price. It's a beautiful game. It plays incredibly well, and I had a good time.
Cool. All right, next up is The Longing, developed by Ash Games, published by Application Systems Heidelberg, released April 14th on the Switch for $14.99, also available on PC. Play as a lonely shade, the last servant of a king who once ruled the underground kingdom. The king's powers have faded, and he falls asleep for 400 days to regain his might. It is your duty to stay in the earthen palace until he awakens. Oh, what is The Longing?
You are literally just a little shade in a giant-ass cave who can walk very slowly around that cave. And then you can walk home to your little part of the cave, where you have a little fireplace and a little recliner and a little bookcase and a little notepad. And that's it. That's the game. You do not get to know the ending of this game until 400 days real lifetime passes by. But there's a little hitch to that.
Like real 400 days?
Real 400 days.
Yep.
Whoa.
There is a hitch. I'm going to give away a secret. Not a spoiler. But a secret. You can make time go by a little quicker. Because time flies when you're having fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, the more you explore the caves, the more items you can find and take back to your little house. Your little cozy little nook, right?
Okay.
If you build a fire, it's a little cozy. It doesn't feel so lonely, right? You feel a little better. Maybe you draw some art. That passes the time. Oh, before you know it, 2 seconds are going by instead of one. When you're surrounded with art that makes you happy, you don't mind that the time is going by. And so it goes by a little quicker, right? When you're reading a book, time goes by a little quicker. So you can speed up the time in this game, just a little bit at a time, by doing things that the shade enjoys. Now, when you're out exploring, your time is still affected by the things you've done at home. So you can speed it up some, but you're still going to be in for a long haul. If you manage to get this game down to where it only takes like a year to see the end, I will be pleasantly surprised.
Jeez.
Because it still takes an incredibly long time to even just have the shade walk around. He's definitely not in any hurry. He sees no point in running anywhere because he's got all the time in the world, right? He's locked in this cave. He's been told not to leave it. He has to just wait for the king to wake up. There are some quality of life options that make waiting for this slow-ass shade to walk around. You can just hold down the right mouse button. Doesn't work with a controller. Don't try it. Get fucked. It only works with the mouse. But you can hold down the mouse button and he'll walk. You can point to an area and he'll walk to it. You can double click to an area and he'll walk on his own. Or, and this became my favorite thing to do, you can open up the menu and just tell him to walk somewhere random. And he'll just go. He wanders on his own. And you just kind of watch him do it. And if, hey, there's a little bit of coal on the floor, stop and pick it up, right? Then you got that to take back home and you can use it to draw with. Or he might find parts of musical instruments. If he gets all the parts, he can play music when he gets back to the cave. So you can just kind of let him roam around. If there's an area that you'd like to remember, you can go into the menu and say, remember this area, and then walk back to it later automatically. Without having to worry about navigating all the doors and things.
Actual novels you can read in this game, too.
You can read Moby Dick in the game, the entire book.
Huh.
Yeah, but you have to find them. There's a few you get to start off with, but you have to find the others. And you can just read the whole thing. One thing that I was incredibly grateful for, because I took off exploring. Now, there's no stamina bars. You don't have to worry about, you know, taking damage or anything like that. You're not going to die. You don't have to worry about eating because he's just a little shade, right? But I was concerned, like, okay, what if I get unruly and I sit here for a while and I just wander to a few random places and I can't find my way back home? But thankfully, there's a button with a crown on it. And if you press that, he'll go home on his own every time. And so the little things, you knickknacks you picked up while you were out, you can just take home. Just like that. And then do what you will with them at home.
But what's the fucking point? It's just an idle game, I guess?
The point is to be a hippie.
To just chill for 4 hours. We'll find out what the point is in a year and a half.
You can't find out the point until you get to the end of the time. Until you run the timeout.
So this is a review in progress.
Mm-hmm.
We will keep
mark
you
it on a year. I'll come back. I'd like to.
I should make I you cover this weekly.
Year. Oh my god! Don't do that to me.
Every week for the next year and a half until 400 days
is because up. Nothing is going to happen other than I found a trumpet. Oh, I found the book. I mean, nothing's going to happen beyond that. It's just a matter of I'll have to just come back and be like, hey, guess what? I finally finished.
Well, as it stands, it's $15. What do you think of it?
It's a little pricey for what it is. I'm going to be honest. It's not that there's nothing there, because it's all about making the best of what you do have in the game. But that's quite a price tag for a game that is definitely a time commitment. And it's not going to be for everybody. So I'm going to roll with more of a try it. And just say, you really got to have the patience of Job here for this one to pay off.
All right. Well, set the clock. Set a reminder. Yeah. Throw an alert in your phone for 400 days.
What phone?
Exactly. Next game to talk about is called Hitchhiker, a mystery game developed by Mad About Pandas, published by Versus Evil. Released April 15th on Xbox One, PS4, Switch, and PC for $14.99. As a hitchhiker with no memory or destination, you catch a series of rides across a strange and beautiful landscape, tracking the mysterious disappearance of a person close to you. Your drivers range from stoic farmers to off-duty waitresses, and each one has a story to tell. Clues appear, alliances emerge, and nothing is quite what it seems. Oh, what does that mean?
Nothing makes a lick of goddamn sense. That's what it means. I have played through this entire game. I got every achievement in it on accident. And still, I finished it and I put down the controller and I was like, I have no idea what the fuck to say about this. Like, I don't know what just happened. 1 minute you're in you're hitchhiking with a farmer, a raisin farmer. Who the fuck farms raisins? You farm grapes and then they get turned into raisins. Nobody farms raisins. And then the next minute, you're with a dude who's looking for his dog, but his dog's name's Hops, and this guy's name's Hops, and why would you name your dog after yourself, dude? And you're looking for the warehouse of forgotten things, but you forgot where the warehouse of forgotten things is. And then the next minute, you're with a waitress, and she's just like, boy, you're a real piece of work. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm so confused. There are 5 different drivers that you hitchhike with. One wears a wolf helmet and it, like, thinks you're nuts for not realizing that that's his Bluetooth phone thingy. And I'm like, but I don't get it. I don't know what's happening here. I have never played through a game and been so confused at the end. None of it made sense. I don't think it's supposed to. I think it's all an allegory for how shit just doesn't make sense.
So how do you review this?
I don't know, right? Like, it's beautiful, and it played well. I did have one crash, but it was at the very beginning. Who the fuck knows why it happened? It didn't happen anymore after that, so I guess
I figure if there's one crash out of nowhere, it's just, it happened.
Yeah, sometimes shit just happens. But it played well other than that one crash. It didn't lag or micro-freeze, and like I said, it's absolutely beautiful. It's definitely going to take you for a mindfuck, and because of that, I really enjoyed it, though. Like, I love shit that fucks with my brain, okay? I love psychological horror. I love anything that just leaves me going, but why? I just do. And I wasn't expecting that from Hitchhiker. And when it left me feeling that way at the end, I was like, fuck, that's good. They got me. Not everybody enjoys feeling that way, but they did a really good job. Like, as unusual as it all is, like, it's a cohesive story. It comes together, but it still just leaves you going, I don't understand why or how. It just worked. And when I played it, the first night I played it, it was like 3 a.m. I was like, I have to fit in some time with this game. I don't have any other time. I'm just going to play a little bit of it before bed. I'm going to do one story before bed, and then I'll pick it back up tomorrow. But I was anxiously looking forward to picking it back up the next morning. When I got up, I was like, I got to clear a little bit of time. I want to sit down with Hitchhiker. I'm looking forward to seeing where it takes me. And just the whole time I was playing, it was just like, you're never going to see what's happening next. And I didn't. I was just sitting there the whole time going, what the fuck? It was delightful in this just incredibly weird mindfuck kind of way.
Well, is it a $15 mindfuck?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is.
Put that on 100%. The box versus Evil, I dare ya.
Yeah.
Hitchhiker, a $15 mindfuck.
I support that message. I do.
All right, well, final game to talk about tonight is called Shadow Man Remastered, developed and published by Night Dive Studios, released April 15th on Steam for $19.99. He is coming, stalking criminals in the spirit world and the real world. A possessed man is coming, a voodoo mask in his chest and lines of power in his back. Shadow Man is coming, trailing evil from the live side to the dead side to stop an apocalypse, to save your soul. Aki, was your soul saved by Shadow Man?
No, not really.
What was the game fun?
It had some fun aspects to it. There were some not so fun aspects to it as well.
Well, tell us, start at the beginning. What is Shadow Man Remastered?
It's an action game where you play as the Shadow Man, and you basically journey to the afterlife, which reminds me a lot of what hell, I assume, looks like to some people. And you shoot things with a gun, with infinite ammo, thankfully. And you are trying to collect these super, super evil souls to absorb into yourself so bad guys can't get them. And there's a fuck ton of them. So have fun. And then you're also trying to stop 5 people throughout history that were just evil assholes who have decided to band together with some other ultimate evil to create an army of unkillable creatures with these Dark Souls, which is why you're obtaining them, and you're trying to kill all those people as well, because they're bad guys, and you need to shoot them with your bang bang stick. It's fun. One of these guys is Jack the Ripper, so I'm really confused as to why they waited this long. I mean, is he... Jack the Ripper. You'd think they'd be like, okay, these evil guys are, you know, trying to help this big bad evil. Maybe we should kill them before all of them show up and it actually becomes a fucking problem. Because once all of them are there, it's like, oh, they're trying to stop the apocalypse now. It's like, bitch, for real? You could have sent me in there when there was fucking one of them, kill him, and then the other ones would have shown up and they couldn't have done shit.
Then you wouldn't have had a game.
I guess. I mean, it could have been all about trying to kill that motherfucker.
And then you would complain that there was only one level. You'd be like, should have been more evils in the game.
I've played like 5 levels and I still haven't managed to get to one of the big, big bad bosses. This was an old N64 game. I don't know what other systems it was on, but I played it on the Nintendo 64. So that can tell you a little bit about the game right there. It doesn't play nice, necessarily. It doesn't really tell you how to do anything, explain how to do anything, because, you know, that was the job of, you know, the nice, thick instruction manual that used to come with fucking games. That, shockingly, does not come with Steam games. Small oversight there, I imagine. So it took me a while even to figure out how to open my fucking inventory, because I forgot that I even had one, honestly. And it took me a while to figure out how to equip things in it, because the game does not, it doesn't teach you anything. There's no mini map, there's no map, there's nothing.
I'm guessing similar to the Turok re-releases, this is basically just like a straight port with enhanced visuals and enhanced textures, but it's still largely the same N64 game that you remember.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. And I'm one of those people, when I think back on these older games that I played, my mind tends to think, oh, that the games looked better than they actually did. And I still say this version of it is markedly better graphically. All the options they added into this, it really does look a lot better. Like, significantly. From the shadows being better to just overall all the textures being better. I kind of feel like they may have updated the actual models themselves in-game, even. Not the cutscenes, but, like, the action. I'm not sure on that, but it just feels like it looks better than it used to in general, even there. But this game, you know, just like way back then, the character controls like a fucking tank. Not a good one. It controls like one of those ones that takes forever just to make a fucking turn. It doesn't tell you where to go or what you need to do. And it has these fairly large areas that you have to find your way around, which can be kind of ball-bustingly hard to do, because there's always tunnels that go this way, that way. You'll end up in a different area, like higher up on the same area you've already been. It's like, that's not where I need to go. I need to go over there. How do I get there? You go around, you find yourself on the other side of that same area, and you're like, motherfucker, that's not where I need to be either. You just keep doing it until you finally find where you need to fucking go. it takes a while. I mean, there was
It's an old game. It sounds like it's through and through an old game. This is retro through and through. Like, you need to have grown up with this game and appreciate it. It sounds like if you haven't played this on the N64, you probably shouldn't be playing it now.
Yeah, if you don't like retro games with their retro difficulty, you're not going to fucking like this game at all. This is going to be fucking misery for you.
By the way, released in August of 1999, this game is old enough to drink, and I want to cry.
Wow, I didn't realize it was quite that old. Holy shit. Oh, man. My soul. My old, ancient fucking soul. Oh, my Jesus.
Yeah.
Remember the dinosaurs? $20. I sure do. I say, if you like retro games, then yeah, this is totally up your alley. If you don't, then no. You're going to hate this. Absolutely fucking hate it. I enjoyed fragments of it. I didn't enjoy fragments of it. Again, I'm not big on retro games as some people. I like some of the aesthetics, some of the play style, but I don't necessarily like having to spend like an hour and a half trying to get through this very short maze because the character controls like shit and I die constantly and have to start at the beginning. I don't like stuff like that. But overall, I think in general it's a decent game. The writing could have been better, but again, this is
a game from 1999. Yeah.
The writing is so bad.
It's an Acclaim game. Acclaim wasn't known for their Shakespearean prose.
Oh, I love that. It feels like they were trying to, because every new area the main character goes into, he has this long, drawn-out fucking monologue about how he's a god of this world, how everything bends to his whims, and then you die like 20, 30 times in that level trying to figure out where the fuck to go because he doesn't know where he's going either. It's like, yeah, you're such an amazing fucking god here. Yeah, fuck you.
Well, it sounds like a solid try it as long as you're familiar with the game. If you're not familiar with the game, it doesn't sound like it. You're going to be sold on it.
Yeah, pretty much.
And if you're waiting on a console release, it is apparently going to be hitting Switch, Xbox, and PS4 later on in 2021. So keep an eye out for a console release as well.
Interesting.
All right, well, that is it for this episode. Made it through. Cole, did we lose you this week?
No, we did it. We're good. We're good.
If it makes you guys feel any better, I've been playing Rain on Your Parade.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I'm working on level 2.
It's such an adorable game.
Yeah, I like pissing people off too, so it's fantastic.
Cool. Well, does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Rain on the piss pots. All the piss pots.
Okay.